read Nectar Devotion, Chapter 3, pages 28 to 35. Okay. I'll read the first. There'll be quite a lot of this chapter that I'll be reading. The first paragraph. The three categories of devotional service, which Srila Rupa Goswami describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, are listed as devotional service in practice. That is sadhana bhakti, that's the first category. Devotional service in ecstasy, that's bhava bhakti. And devotional service in pure love of Godhead, that is prema bhakti. There are many subheadings in each of these categories. Generally, it is understood that in the category of devotional service and practice, there are two different qualities. What are those two different qualities? Kleshadi, yes, and Subhada. This is the meaning of this. Even though it's not so, it is not so explicit, but Prabhupada so kindly giving me some service to be able to make it explicit and clear for you. So there are two qualities in sadhana. And devotional service in ecstasy, which is bhava bhakti, has four qualities. What are those four qualities? I'll give you a hint. Subhada and kleshagni are included in those two. In bhava as well, because it's like a nest. So the one box covers two qualities, and the next box is put on top of that. It has two additional qualities, but it also covers the two, those first two of Subhada and Kleshagni. The next two, name one.
Sudurlabha.
One, that's one. Okay, good. And then prema bhakti has six. Pure devotional service and pure love of God has six qualities. These qualities will be explained by Srila Rupa Goswami later on. What are the six qualities, the two extra qualities in prema bhakti? Krishna Akarshani. Krishna Akarshani. And?
Sadhana.
Yes. So we have to know the meaning of these, the Sanskrit and the English. And this concept you should know. It's a very simple concept, but you should know it completely and what those six qualities are. Now, if one practices devotional service, he begins, and then the goal is to come up to the point of prema bhakti, to climb this entire ladder of sadhana, bhava, and prema. That is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. Now, the next paragraph explains who can take to devotional service, or a person eligible for Krishna consciousness or devotional service can be classified by his particular taste. He says that devotional service is a continual process from one's previous life. No one can take to devotional service unless he has some previous connection with it. This is a very important concept. Everything that we gain in devotional service is eternal. And what we gain in this life, if it's 2% or 20% or 27% or 96%, wherever we leave off in this life, we will pick up from that point in our next life. In other words, a continuum is made. It is eternal. Our advancement is eternal and can never be lost, although it can be covered and checked for some time due to aparadha. But it is a continuum. So therefore, Prabhupada explains, no one can take the devotional service unless he has some previous connection with it. For example, suppose in this life I practice devotional service to some extent. Even though it is not 100% perfectly performed, whatever I have done will not be lost. In my next life, from the very point where I stop in this life, I shall begin again. In this way, there is always a continuity. But even if there is no continuity, If only by chance a person takes interest in pure devotee's instructions, he can be accepted and can advance in devotional service. Anyway, for persons who have a natural taste for understanding books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, devotional service is easier than for those who are simply accustomed to mental speculation and the argumentative processes. So the idea is that devotional service begins at some point. We are actually covered living entities, bhadaji. But at some point, for a devotee to be acting as a devotee, it has to begin for him. So Prabhupada is explaining that if you have a taste, if one has a taste, a natural taste for devotional service, that means that one is carrying it from a previous life. Some people, just immediately, as soon as they come, more or less, they become very, very advanced. This means that they are carrying their advancement from a previous life. There is no other explanation for this. And the test of one's position is naturally one's taste. And what is the taste? How much one actually relishes hearing and chanting. This is the key. And throughout the world, there are many, many souls planted. Not planted like seeds, but more or less like seeds. They have been planted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, devotees who have taken up devotional service in previous lives, and then as soon as they hear the chanting of Hare Krishna, or they see a book, immediately they become attracted and want to know more. They are pulled like a magnet. I remember one devotee, two examples when I first joined. One was Bhagavan Prabhu. He's no longer in ISKCON, but he came so quickly, and so many of the older devotees actually. And Jagadish Maharaj is another example. And actually all the older devotees, I saw so many of them, they just come. And I remember with Jagadish Maharaj, the first time he put on tilak practically, he could put it on perfectly, like that. And I remember when I put it on, it looked like I put it on with my foot or something like that. But just immediately, perfect tilak. How is this possible? And so many of the devotees, immediately, they know the Shastra. His Holiness Hridayananda Maharaj, immediately memorizing Ishopanishad, Satsarupa Maharaj, Kamal Krishna Maharaj, all the Jayapataka Maharaj, immediately, I have to make sure I catch everyone now that I've started, and Hare Krishna Maharaj, and Bibi Govinda Maharaj, and who else? Indrajinda Swami. And Bhakti Shumaraj. Prabhupada gave Bhakti Shumaraj practically after initiating him, practically gave sannyas to him. But where does this come from? Where does this come from? There are billions of souls in this world. But by Prabhupada's mercy, someone comes, and if I have forgotten your spiritual master there, please forgive me. But he is exalted. Like Indradumi Maharaj, that's a good example. Prabhupada told him, practically he told him to take sannyas right after the very, 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 very early. He said, I've seen the whole world. I've read this recently. He said, I've seen the whole world and there is no happiness in the world. Prabhupada told Indradumi Maharaj. He said, you should take sannyas. So this means that devotees are picking it up from their previous life. Now that doesn't mean that, because it says it's in Prabhupada explains that it's not possible to come unless one has had it in a previous life, but it obviously has to begin somewhere. It has to begin somewhere. So either in this life it began, and or in previous life, or maybe 15 lives ago, or 200 lives ago, or 2,000 lives ago, or whatever, somewhere or another, someone came in contact with a devotee. The soul came in contact with a devotee. And what kind of a devotee? A nice, generally speaking, a madhyamadhikari. Usually this is the case. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains to Madhurja Kadamani that the Madhyam Adhikari possesses the Kripa Shakti of the Lord, and he gives out devotional service. He's preaching and distributing devotional service. And our business as devotees is to preach and chant very, very loudly, distribute prasadam, distribute books everywhere, and in that way rallying all those souls who are planted as seeds by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As soon as they hear or somehow come in contact with Krishna consciousness in any form, they're immediately, their ears will perk up, and they'll immediately want to, they'll become so attracted for no reason. This is also explained in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Suchinam Shrimatam Gehe Yoga Prashta Vijayate. That if one has taken up devotional service in a previous life, he will have a specific type of birth. Either he will be born in a wealthy mercantile family or a family of learned transcendentalists, depending upon previously how advanced he became. And then the result is that he will become attracted to these practices without any endeavor. So you can all see about yourselves too. But in any case, as soon as one does become attracted, whether he's in his 15th life or as hearing about Krishna, or his first life or his 200th, one should become very, very serious and try to make advancements. Now, then, after one comes to Krishna consciousness, after he is attracted, what does he do? Rupa Goswami is, and Prabhupada here is going to describe what he calls the first stages of devotion. What happens next? The next thing that happens is called sadhana. Now he's going to begin here describing sadhana bhakti, the practices of devotional service. Now the first thing that Rupa Goswami describes here and Prabhupada explains is that the purpose, it's actually, I'll read the whole paragraph here on page 20, and then I'll read the verse in Sanskrit that Rupa Goswami has written. Practice means, so this is the definition of sadhana bhakti. This is describing sadhana bhakti. And remember, sadhana bhakti is the first stage, then bhava bhakti, then prema bhakti. Practice means employing our senses in some particular type of work. Therefore, devotional service and practice means utilizing our different sensory organs in service to Krishna. Some of the senses are meant for acquiring knowledge, and some are meant for executing the conclusions of our thinking, feeling, and willing. So practice means employing both the mind and the senses in practical devotional service. Now so much after this brief explanation here, or actually beginning with chapter 6, Rupa Goswami and Prabhupada here are going to describe the entire process. The 64 angas are part of sadhana, vaidhi sadhana bhakti. So it's going to be explained in great detail what exactly are the practices. But first we should understand the principle behind the practices of sadhana bhakti. Practice means employing both the mind and the senses in practical devotional service. This practice is not for developing something artificial. For example, a child learns or practices to walk. This walking is not unnatural. The walking capacity is there originally in the child, and simply by a little practice, he walks very nicely. Similarly, devotional service to the Supreme Lord is the natural instinct of every living entity. Even uncivilized men like the Aborigines offer their respectful obeisances to something wonderful exhibited by nature's law. And they appreciate that behind some wonderful exhibition or action, there is something supreme. So this consciousness, though lying dormant in those who are materially contaminated, is found in every living entity, and when purified, this is called Krishna consciousness. In other words, the tendency to worship and love Krishna, the Lord, the Supreme, is there within every soul. It is the sarup, or the natural consciousness of every living entity. Figure out something. Maybe you can stand on your head. Either that, or maybe, or if that's too hard, maybe Dr. James can stand on your head. That's not Vaishnava standing on people's head. So, this is there within everyone. The tendency is there, and the practice of sadhana is the practices that evoke, that bring out the natural tendency to love Krishna. It is not giving something that isn't there. It is not unnatural. It is there within everyone. Mamai vangso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. We are Krishna's part and parcel, and everything is there. And the example given by Prabhupada is that the practice of walking by the young child is the practice that evokes the natural ability to walk within the child, not adding something. There are certain prescribed methods for employing our senses and mind. Now this is the specific verse here. There's a specific verse that Rupa Goswami writes, and this is it over here. There are certain prescribed methods for employing our senses and mind in such a way that our dormant consciousness for loving Krishna will be invoked, as much as the child with a little practice can begin to walk. One who has no basic walking capacity cannot walk by practice. So this is explained by the commentators, that it is not sadhana bhakti that gives love of Krishna. It is not the practices of sadhana bhakti that give love of Krishna. It is evoking what is naturally the natural tendency of the soul. One who has no basic walking capacity cannot walk by practice. Similarly, Krishna consciousness cannot be aroused simply by practice. Actually, there is no such practice. When we wish to develop our innate capacity for devotional service, there are certain processes which, by our accepting and executing them, will cause the dormant capacity to be invoked. Such practices is called sadhana bhakti. That's the definition. Rupa Goswami has explained, kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhav sa sadhya nitya bhi nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakatam riddhi sadhyata. This is included by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, this verse, text 105. In the teachings to Sanatan Goswami, Madhya Lila, chapter 22. Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 105. This verse is very important. Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhav. Those practices which bring out the sadhya, or the conclusion of bhava, or love for Krishna, that is the result, or the purpose of sadhana bhakti. Nitya siddhasya bhavasya means that it is eternally existing. Prakatyam riddhi sadhyata, and it is manifest within the heart. Prabhupada's translation. When transcendental devotional service, by which love for Krishna is attained, is executed by the senses, it is called sadhana bhakti, or the regulative discharge of devotional service. Such devotion eternally exists within the heart of every living entity. The awakening of this eternal devotion is the potentiality of devotional service and practice. Prabhupada's purport. This verse is found in Bhaktivinoda Sindhu 1.2.2. Because living entities are minute atomic parts and parcels of the Lord, devotional service is already present within them in a dormant condition. Devotional service begins with Shravana Kirtanam, hearing and chanting. When a man is sleeping, he can be awakened by sound vibration. Therefore, every conditioned soul should be given the chance to hear the Hare Krishna mantra chanted by a pure Vaishnava. One who hears the Hare Krishna mantra thus vibrated is awakened to spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness. In this way, one's mind gradually becomes purified. As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. It is a process of cleansing. Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. And then, Shreyakaraiva Chandrika, the Taranam Vidyavaru Jivanam. The white lotus of the good fortune of the living entity, the Taranam, it expands. That's what happens. The heart is cleansed and the auspiciousness expands. When the mind is purified, the senses are also purified. Instead of using the senses for sense gratification, the awakened devotee employs his senses in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. This is the process by which the dormant love for Krishna is awakened. Next, after explaining what sadhana bhakti is, now I'm going on the test. I'll probably ask you about what is sadhana bhakti and how would you describe it after hearing this. It's very important. Of course, I'm saying on the test, and therefore you should pay attention, or otherwise you're going to get a bad mark on the test. But is that the real thing that is to be gained? The real thing is to gain the understanding of what sadhana bhakti is. What is sadhana bhakti? Say a point. Raise your hands. And, yeah.
To engage in the sense
in practical devotional service. Good. Another point about sadhana bhakti.
The practice which brings up love of Krishna.
Yes, good. Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhav sa sadhana devi. It brings out the bhava. It evokes the bhava within one's heart. Anything else? Anyone like to add something else? Yeah. But in the definition itself, that's the first thing that Rupa Goswami is going to talk about practical devotional service. Ado Guru Parashray. First, accept the shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master. That's the first item. But here, the basic definition of what the purpose of sadhana is. So in other words, someone is coming from a previous life due to some taste he has, due to some association with devotees at some point or another. And then by that association, he comes in contact and he's ready to become serious in devotional service. So therefore, he begins the practice of sadhana. Sadhana is that practices which will evoke his Krishna consciousness, his dormant Krishna consciousness. Engaging the senses practically so that his Krishna consciousness is evoked. Next, after defining what sadhana bhakti is, I'm not going to ask you that verse, to say that verse, but it's a very nice verse, Kriti Sadhya Bhavet Sadhya Bhavet. I'm not going to require that for the test. So the point is, as Prabhupada explains it, so Prabhupada's preaching is so strong. Every living entity under the spell of material energy, this is at the bottom of page 20, is held to be in an abnormal condition of madness. In Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, generally the conditioned soul is mad because he is always engaged in activities which are the cause of bondage and suffering. So this is madness. Janiya shunya vishakainu. Narottama Das Thakur says, knowingly I drunk poison. And what is the poison? We do things regularly, continuously, which cause us suffering and bondage. This is insanity. Knowingly, we drink poison. Every day, we let our mind and our bodies go to things that actually and simply hurt us and cause us unlimited trouble. So therefore, that is the insane or mad condition of the living entity. The spirit soul, in his original condition, is joyful, blissful, eternal, and full of knowledge. Only by his implication in material activities has he become miserable, temporary, and full of ignorance. This is due to vikarma, means actions which should not be done. Therefore, we must practice sadhana bhakti, which means to offer mangalarti, deity worship in the morning, to refrain from certain material activities, to offer obeisances to the spiritual master, and to follow many other rules and regulations which will be discussed here, one after another. These practices will help one become cured of madness. That is the purpose. So when the madness goes away by Krishna's mercy, love of Krishna, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna and Gauranga, then Krishna consciousness comes up. As a man's mental disease is cured by the directions of a psychiatrist, so this sadhana bhakti cures the conditioned soul of its madness under the spell of maya, material illusion. Now, the next thing, the next point, and I've mentioned this verse before, is what is the basic principle of sadhana bhakti? We understand now what the definition of sadhana bhakti is and what the purposes are. They're going to be practical practices. So what is the basic principle underlying all the practices of sadhana bhakti? This is given in Srimad Bhagavatam, first chapter, seventh canto, verse 31, 32. My dear king, one has to fix his mind on Krishna by any means. This is called Krishna consciousness. This is the principle. So the verse that I quote from Padma Purana, which Prabhupada translates on page 23, if you jump to the next to last paragraph on 23 in the Padma Purana, also the same process is advised. There it is said that one should always remember Krishna. That is called dhyana or meditation. Always remembering Krishna. It is said that one has to meditate with his mind fixed upon Vishnu. And then there's another point where the same thing is given on page 24. If this injunction is followed right in the middle of page 24, then all other rules and regulations will automatically fall into line. All other rules and regulations should be treated as assistants or servants to this one basic principle. And there's another reference to it. This verse Prabhupada splits up and quotes many, many, many times. One should fix his mind on Krishna. The Padma Purana recommends, again, at the bottom of page 23. Padma Purana recommends, however, somehow or another, one always think of Vishnu without forgetting him under any circumstances. Actually, this is the most basic of all the regulative principles. For when there is an order from a superior about doing something, there is simultaneously a prohibition. When the order is that one should always remember Krishna, the prohibition is that one should never forget him. Within this simple order and prohibition, all the regulative principles are found complete. So these different elements that Prabhupada mentions are one verse. What is the verse? Does anyone know it? I think one devotee knows. Yeah. Etiya eva kinkara means all the rules and regulations are meant to simply serve or act as assistance to the main rules and regulations. Sava vidhi nisheda cha, all the vidhi, all the things that you should do, and nisheda, all the things that you shouldn't do, they're just for the purpose of helping us, assisting us in the one main rule and regulation, which is the definition, the real definition, the essential definition of sadhana bhakti, smartavyo satatam vishnu, always remember Krishna, vismartavyo no jatu chit, and never forget him. This is the essence and the purpose behind all the rules and regulations. Maya has a different rule and regulation, which is her essence. Never remember Krishna and always forget him. And all Maya's rules and regulations are just assistance. Go to the cinema, listen to cinema music, eat anything you like, run around with this woman, dress in this way, get money. They are just assistance to the Maya's main rule and regulation, to always forget Krishna and never remember Krishna. So this practice of sadhana bhakti, it's essential that we understand the essence of it. Why? Because Maya has her plan, and it's so easy. So one of the rules of, one of the practices, say, for instance, of sadhana bhakti, is to offer arti to the deity, right? But Maya will try and take that. If you don't remember that the essence of the rule is to remember Krishna and never forget him, even when you are offering arti to the vigraha of Radha and Krishna, Maya will be there telling you to think about, you have to go shopping in 1 hour, and you're going to have to go to Loy Bazaar, and you're going to have to get a rickshaw. Did someone get the rickshaw? And what are you going to do next week? And then this nice person I met yesterday, Maya's rule and regulation is going to push you to forgetting Krishna. So there, and you're thinking, I'm practicing sadhana bhakti. So therefore, it is always important to keep in mind the essence or the actual purpose of the sadhana bhakti, the rules and regulations. And what is that? And the other half, when there is a rule what you should do, there is nisheda, also the... And never forget Krishna. What is the rule? And? What is the rule? Yes, and? Yes, don't hide, we caught you. Yeah. Never forget Krishna. So our whole life is meant to be set up about always remembering Krishna and never forgetting him. That is the glory of living in a temple, preaching, distributing books. Look at the opulence, the opportunity when you're preaching and distributing books or making life members or something like that. You can go and say, we are devotees of Krishna, and you should talk about Krishna, and you should think about Krishna, and because you can always preach about Krishna. And therefore, when you preach about Krishna, one of the greatest benefits is that you're always remembering Krishna, because you're talking about Krishna. So we chant our rounds. And what are we supposed to be doing when we're chanting our rounds? Always remembering Krishna and never forgetting Krishna. But what is Maya trying to make us do when we're chanting our rounds? Anyway, I can speak better about that than anyone. It's so hard to focus your mind, right? You think about anything, everything. You'll think about your mother, your father, your sister, your pet dog, a television, and then remember Krishna. So therefore, this is a practice, vidhi, by instruction. We do it, we remember Krishna. Yeah.
A point on that is you might not be remembering Krishna in Devi or something from the head, but if you remember Krishna in the form of his book or his philosophy or his body, that's the same.
The point is remembering Krishna. This is the purifying process. Manmana, this is what Krishna tells Arjuna, manmana bhava manbhakto. First, manmana, engage your mind in thinking about me. And then, become my devotee. Maharaj Ambarish, first of all, engaged his mind in thinking about Krishna, then he engaged all his senses. This is the essence of the practices of sadhana bhakti. Remember this principle and do not forget it. Always both sides have to be there. Otherwise, you won't get it right when I ask the question on the test. That would be a great loss. Otherwise, really, the process of Krishna consciousness will not bear fruits. Fruit, it's fruit. And what is the fruit of the process of Krishna consciousness? Yes, thank you. What is it? Yeah. Well, anyway, you had your hand raised. That's the process. What is the fruit? The result. Yes, thank you. Now, but the only thing is, I'm a little afraid that we're not going to have... After, write it down or put it in your mind, as long as it has to do with Krishna. And then, acted by the devotional service of his devotees, is described by Narada in the Srimad Bhagavatam 7th canto, 10th chapter, verses 48 and 49. There, Narada addresses King Yudhisthira while the king is appreciating the glories of the character of Prahlad Maharaj. This is the nature of a devotee. Yudhisthira Maharaj, such an exalted devotee, is appreciating Prahlad Maharaj, another exalted devotee. So Yudhisthira was appreciating the qualities of Prahlad. A pure devotee never thinks himself great. He always thinks that other devotees are greater than him. The king was thinking, Prahlad Maharaj is actually a devotee of the Lord, while I am nothing. And while thinking this, he was addressed by Narada as follows. Narada said to him, my dear King Yudhisthira, you, the Pandavas, are the only fortunate people in this world. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared on this planet and is presenting himself to you as an ordinary human being. This is how fortunate and how attractive the love that the Pandavas felt was, that Krishna was always living with them. He is always with you in all circumstances. He is living with you, and he is covering himself from the eyes of others. Others cannot understand that he is the Supreme Lord, but he is still living with you as if he was your cousin and your friend, even your messenger. Therefore, you must know that nobody in this world is more fortunate than you. This is the power of bhakti. Krishna is driving the chariot of Arjuna. Krishna is controlled by the gopis. Krishna is controlled by his friends. Krishna is carrying his friend on his shoulders. Krishna is doing so many things just for the pleasure of his friend and the residents of Vrindavan. So how powerful is devotional service, love of Krishna? It is more powerful than Krishna. It subjugates and controls Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna appeared in his universal form, Arjuna prayed, my dear Krishna, I thought of you as my cousin brother, and so I have shown disrespect to you in so many ways, calling you Krishna or friend, but you are so great that I could not understand. So that was the position of the Pandavas. Although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the greatest amongst all greats, he remained with these royal brothers, being attracted by their devotion, by their friendship, and by their love. Attracted by the devotional service of his devotees is described by Narada in the Srimad Bhagavatam 7th canto, 10th chapter, verses 48 and 49. There, Narada addresses King Yudhisthira while the king is appreciating the glories of the character of Prahlad Maharaj. This is the nature of a devotee. Yudhisthira Maharaj, such an exalted devotee, is appreciating Prahlad Maharaj, another exalted devotee. So Yudhisthira was appreciating the qualities of Prahlad. A pure devotee never thinks himself great. He always thinks that other devotees are greater than him. The king was thinking, Prahlad Maharaj is actually a devotee of the Lord, while I am nothing. And while thinking this, he was addressed by Narada as follows. Narada said to him, my dear King Yudhisthira, you, the Pandavas, are the only fortunate people in this world. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared on this planet and is presenting himself to you as an ordinary human being. This is how fortunate and how attractive the love that the Pandavas felt was, that Krishna was always living with them. He is always with you in all circumstances. He is living with you, and he is covering himself from the eyes of others. Others cannot understand that he is the Supreme Lord, but he is still living with you as if he was your cousin and your friend, even your messenger. Therefore, you must know that nobody in this world is more fortunate than you. This is the power of bhakti. Krishna is driving the chariot of Arjuna. Krishna is controlled by the gopis. Krishna is controlled by his friends. Krishna is carrying his friend on his shoulders. Krishna is doing so many things just for the pleasure of his friend and the residents of Vrindavan. So how powerful is devotional service, love of Krishna? It is more powerful than Krishna. It subjugates and controls Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna appeared in his universal form, Arjuna prayed, my dear Krishna, I thought of you as my cousin brother, and so I have shown disrespect to you in so many ways, calling you Krishna or friend, but you are so great that I could not understand. So that was the position of the Pandavas. Although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the greatest amongst all greats, he remained with these royal brothers, being attracted by their devotion, by their friendship, and by their love. This is the proof of how great this process of devotional service is. It can attract even the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
God is great, but devotional service is greater than God because it attracts Him. People who are not in devotional service can never understand what great value there is in rendering devotional service. Okay, so we have rushed and we have finished chapter 1, explaining the 6 qualities of devotional service. It's not necessary for you to understand this tricky little part of why Prabhupada placed one of the qualities within another quality and used the quotes here and used another section heading somewhere else. It's not necessary for you to understand that. Just understand the 6 qualities, understand on which stages each one appear, which stages of devotional service each one appears within, as I've explained it, and understand why Bhava Bhakti is so rare, understand all the quotes as Prabhupada has presented them. We don't really have time for any questions. But one question here, and then maybe we'll begin our next class with a few questions. But we'll have to rush in that class too a little bit. Yeah. I find it really handy. What did Dinesh Prabhu? Did I ask the Sanskrit last year? Do you remember? Huh? I did ask. Okay, yes. You asked to know the Sanskrit. Yeah. Could they what?
Watch number.
Oh, it's in the 15th chapter. Right in the beginning. 4, 5, 6, 7, I think. 8. 15th chapter. The purports are very interesting when it describes what they are. Very, very heavy. Very interesting. You have that tendency. They're very, very, very heavy and very attractive. But they are pretty cool for devotional service. They are not helpful, but hindrance. Yeah.
So this pleasure that one receives from the devotional service is only prema platform. Right.
Sandrandananda Vishesha. There's pleasure on all platforms. On the sadhana platform, there's more pleasure than material happiness. Therefore, it is considered within all auspiciousness. One of the qualities of all auspiciousness is you become happy and content. That means there's pleasure there. And that is on the sadhana platform. On the bhava platform, there is also pleasure, and that pleasure is greater than liberation. And then on the prema platform, there is pleasure, sandrandananda visheshatma, and that pleasure is indescribably wonderful. Cannot be compared to anything practically. Okay? Does that answer your question?
But we are attracted by in sadhana platform, in our platform, we are attracted by this happiness that this devotional service brings to us.
Right? Whereas different people are attracted by different things on the sadhana platform. In pure devotional service, one is attracted by Krishna to serve Krishna, and automatically one gets happiness. But if one wants the happiness, then it is business. Then it is not pure devotional service. One serves and takes whatever Krishna gives him. But naturally one gets happy. But one doesn't serve for the happiness. Krishna will test you to see if that is your motive. And he will put you in a difficult situation where there is no happiness, just to see what you actually want. Okay? Clear? One other, yeah.
If you could respond to a question discussed by Maharaj Yudhisthira in 1992, to accentuate that if we praise other devotees in that direction, that we really must receive.
No. He's showing how the Pandavas' devotional service was so great it subjugated Krishna and made him act as their servant, driver, messenger like that. What to speak of the residents of Vrindavan? Because when Arjuna saw the universal form, he became frightened. The Aishwarya opulence of Krishna overwhelmed Arjuna's love, and he became frightened and said, "I'm sorry I've done this, I'm sorry I've done this." But when Mother Yasoda saw the universal form, she said, "All right, Krishna, just close your mouth. Don't eat dirt anymore." So her madhurja, her sweetness of love, just completely overcovered Krishna's Aishwarya. Last question.
There is a person on the platform of Sadhana engaging in devotional service in pleasure to Krishna. The Rajat Rajana Krishna, please guide his service.
Yes. Through the Vaishnavas being pleased, but not so much directly, because the tendency is to be a little mixed. But if it's pure devotional service, even on the sadhana platform, Krishna is aware and pleased. It depends on the quality of the heart. See, until one is on the transcendental platform, he doesn't directly relate with Krishna, although Krishna undoubtedly hears all his prayers if he is praying with rag or great attachment and love. Krishna will hear them, even if he is a sadhaka. But one is very special if one is like that. It's a good question. I'll think about it more too. But certainly through the devotees. Certainly Krishna is directly pleased by the pleasure of the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. There's no doubt about that. But we don't have direct access to Krishna as sadhaka, as sadhaka. We're aspiring to be devotees. We're not devotees yet. But he is pleased, because his representatives and his beloveds are pleased. Okay? Thank you, Hare Krishna.